welcome to episode 63 of K-Drama Convos. So, sorry about missing last week. We did not have an episode.
The beach caught up with us.
Yeah. What ended up happening is that we got back from the beach, and when did we get back?
We had to jump right into school. That's what happened.
Yeah, that is what happened. We got back Yeah, we had Racket Boys pre-recorded, so we posted that. Mm-hmm. Didn't we post that? Did I post that late? I might have even. Yeah, I posted Racket Boys a day late because the Sunday was supposed to go up. We were at the Ren Fair, I was, like, exhausted. Mm-hmm. And then to Jenny, that one we record at the beach, so.
Yeah.
And then after the Ren Fair, like, the week was us, like, resetting to,
yeah,
like...
trying to adjust to going from total summer break to,
full-on school.
Full-on school. I have to teach 7th and 8th,
mm-hmm.
a 7th grader and an 8th grader, and
yeah.
You have to do your senior stuff.
Yeah, so, woo, sorry about that. I was gonna post on Instagram, and then I literally forgot and was, like, busy with other stuff. And I'm currently really busy with, like, school just started first off. And then I'm applying to a abroad program. And I'm really busy with, like, the application. Yeah, I opened an Etsy shop. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to work on, like, upcoming Christmas stuff. So, because we're really busy right now, we decided that we're going to be changing our upload schedule slightly. Instead of guaranteeing every single Sunday, mm-hmm. we're instead, because most months only have 4 Sundays, like October just so happens it has 5,
right.
That we'll do at least 3 Sundays a month.
And then which Sundays.
Yeah, it might change a little bit.
Right.
It's going to be kind of inconsistent most likely, but... And then we'll have probably at least one Sunday where we won't mm-hmm. have an episode that month. Is partly because we've been, especially recently, struggling with finishing shows in time yeah. to record and stuff like that. Like, we've been struggling with
it's
that.
It's not like during quarantine we had all the time in the world to just watch 3 hours
every
a
single
day.
If not more than that
and
every day.
And now we... Sometimes we don't have more than, like, 1 hour
yeah,
to watch a
yeah.
show.
Yeah, so that's why we're going to be changing up our schedule. So it's going to be this episode, 2 more after this, I know we're going to be doing, and then I think it's the...
Then we're going to take a...
Then I think it's the last Sunday
off,
in
yeah.
October.
Yeah.
So with our monthly watch, we typically try and post that the last Sunday. We might still try and do that.
Or at least the last
Sunday that
Sunday
we've an episode.
Record.
Yeah. So, just a heads up, that's why we won't be posting every single Sunday, because we ended up being very busy people. So, today, we are talking about the recently finished drama, If You Wish Upon Me, which we were very much looking forward to.
Yeah.
Because Ji Chang Wook is in it,
mm-hmm.
who we've unfortunately.
Well, see, we saw him in 2 that we liked, and then 2 that we didn't like.
Because we saw him in.
We liked
Healer.
And K2.
K2 had some mixed feelings towards the end, but
well,
generally we liked
yeah.
it. Healer was our favorite.
Right.
And then we started Melting Me Softly and like dropped it after an episode. And then also starred Love Struck in the City
and
dropped
that.
It. Oh, no, sorry. We saw him in The Sound of Magic and really enjoyed
that. Oh, we really
that
liked
one.
That one.
So
yeah.
We've seen only 3 of his shows all the way.
All
no,
the way
4 through. Now because of
yeah.
this one.
Mm-hmm.
Other than this one, we've only seen the 3 and we really only like 2 of them. So that's the main reason we are pretty excited to see this drama. Because
we like his acting.
Oh, yeah. Love his acting. So, and then also, like, it was an interesting storyline as well. It was something very different. Like, it was dealing with hospice patients. That's something I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. It sounded interesting. Like, I was really like, oh, you know, our expectations were in a very specific genre for this one.
Yeah, our expectations were a little off.
Very off, I'd say. In the end. Yeah. I personally expected something like Navalera and 39.
Mm-hmm.
In that Ditto. General kind of... I mean, I didn't expect it to be the exact same show. I just expected it to have some similarities, which it sometimes did. But we'll get into our mixed feelings later with this one. So, with characters. So, Ji Chang-wook was Gyo-rae, who I really liked his character personally. Like, having... It was like, pretty sad to watch, honestly, especially in, like, the first good few episodes where even though, like, the people at the hospice were, like, basically, like, reaching out to him, wanting him to join them and feel comfortable, he, like, was so not used to that. He just didn't want it. Didn't want any... Even though it's, like, he wanted it but couldn't do it in a way sometimes.
Yeah, he didn't know how to deal with it. It was totally foreign to him.
He didn't know, like, how to interact with them and, or even just, like, eating in front of them and, like... Well, not eating in front of them. Eating as, like, this big group and stuff like that. And I think that I liked that he didn't just, like, immediately he's fixed.
No.
It's not how it worked. Like, he had times where, like, you know, he was doing really, really good and something, obviously, lots of bad things happened in this. And he almost went, like, kind of back and forth sometimes. Yeah. Like... But it was nice to see how he really did start to trust people and actually take their support and stuff like that with, like, you know, the Team Genie and especially with Tae-sik and Yeonju. Like, he actually really started to rely on them, even though it definitely took time.
And I think partly he could... almost very much like Tae-sik, kind of shake it off as if he weren't really accepting.
He was very much that
help.
Type, for sure. They were very similar in that way. And every now and then, like at the towards the very beginning, when he like first ate with the group for the first time, I'm like in my head, I'm like, I don't know. It's something that's so personal, like, I don't know if you can judge if that was too fast or too slow.
Right.
I don't know, but I do like that he was almost, he wasn't inconsistent. In a way, he, like I said, he just, like, wasn't, like, 100% fine. Like,
well, it, the fact that, like, there were times where he would completely and totally lose his temper.
Yeah, he would just lose it.
And... you know, one might think, oh, but I thought he was changing. But, well, the fact that he's changing doesn't negate his awful,
the
awful
years.
Past and
yeah.
the years that he had to deal with, you know, being abused and being bullied. And what I found amazing was that he was actually a really genuinely good person. You know, he wasn't out to threaten anybody or beat anybody up or take advantage of anyone. Mm-mm. Even though he was probably taken advantage of
his whole life. Pretty much, yeah.
It was just surprising that someone has gone through all of that could be kind at all.
And it shows that you know, he wasn't just bad, like, since he was born. He wasn't, like, born that way. It was just, like, the experiences he went through, like, kind of molded him in, like, he had to act a certain way to survive. I mean, basically. And so, yeah, when he, like, you know, like, just, like, lost it. And sometimes he'd just walk out. And then other times he, like, breaks something or throws something. Like, it was like, he's still working through it. He's not there yet. Like, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I liked that they showed how much he struggled. And I also think Ji Chang Wook did amazing acting-wise. Yeah. Like, very impressive. He felt very convincing that that was the... He really was that character.
And the way he vocalized the character, you know, the way he kind of mumbled under his breath.
He mumbled a lot. And
he just... It felt authentic.
It did. Yeah, for sure. I think he got his emotions spot on. Mm-hmm. How when he would, you know, get frustrated or upset and stuff like that, he was very convincing through that. So Yeonju, who we mentioned that like the first episode or two, they introduced her really weirdly.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced I was going to like her.
No, I was afraid I was going to dislike her.
I thought she was
her.
Just going to be some hothead.
I don't know. Why'd they introduce her like
why
that?
Why did she come in and kick his mirror off his car?
I think there was more than one reason that she did. It's because he was like, it was at the very beginning when he was speeding and then didn't, like, go around them on the side of the road. She got covered in mud.
I get that.
And then
was a reaction that someone with his background would have given. Not someone with her.
And then
it didn't make sense for her character, really.
No. And then he, like, didn't even, like, park and just, like, pulled in. And, like, I don't know. I don't know if it was more than that or not. I don't really remember because at the very beginning. But I just thought that was just so strange. Mm-hmm. Because after that... She's super nice.
Exactly.
She's good at her, like, she's committed to her job and is good with the patients. And, like, yes, she's, like, tough, but she's not, like, it's gonna sound weird. She's not, like, unrealistically tough or if that makes sense.
But she, like, gave everybody else the benefit of the doubt when she met them, except, like, she immediately formed this negative opinion of him when he...
Well,
he
looked like what he was dressed, what he was driving.
I get it.
He looked like this really annoying...
But I found that was inconsistent with her character.
Who else did she meet for the first time and not... See, she didn't meet as many people. He was, like, one of the few people, other than patients, that she met for the first time that we saw that she...
Well, when she met his sister, she was incredibly kind... And careful with how she spoke to her and encouraging. Remember they were on the rooftop?
That was completely different.
Well, anyway.
The sister she barely talked to until they literally fought.
I don't think the introduction was consistent
with
her
character. No, it made no sense. But no, overall, I did like her character, though. I liked that she could be, like, you know, like we said, like, nice and genuine, but she wasn't just a pushover either, but she wasn't, like, too much of a tough girl, if that makes... She wasn't your, like, stereotypical, oh, nothing's gonna hurt me, this and that, I can handle any... Like, she was like that a little bit, but there are some characters that are like that so much, it's just, like, annoying and feels inconsistent and, like, just not realistic. I think she had a good balance between being, like, she's very independent. And she was also, what, in her 20s, maybe 30? Like, she's not a kid, you know? She's very independent, could take care of herself. And they did, I think, a right amount of that I could believe it, you know? That kind of thing. But, like, one example, like, for at the very end when a bunch of the, call them thugs, came into the hospice, like, They could physically hold her back, and she just couldn't get away from them. Like, yes, if you have one or more people holding you like that, you might not be able to break away from it, you know?
I was wondering whether they were going to do something with her, you know, doing flying sidekicks and stuff. And
that'd be weird.
Against them. I know. I'm glad they didn't.
No, that'd be strange. I like that they, like, kept it, like, yes, against Jun Kyung. Yes, she was able to fight her because it was one person, like, her size, if not smaller.
Yeah.
Like, that's different, you know. And I also, I think her chemistry with Gyo-Rae was pretty good. I mean, one thing that this show was not, it was not first a romance. That wasn't right, the first, wasn't first genre. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and honestly, even before we watched it, I didn't expect that to be the, primary main storyline. But I think what they had was, or what they showed was, good. It was decent.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I never, felt like, oh, they'd never do that or that kind of thing.
No. I just, their whole, her whole character and their whole relationship, I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
I wasn't really enthused with her.
Mm-mm.
Or the relationship, it was nice.
I think it was nice, and I think it was good. But it was hard to judge because we didn't see as much of it as you do in other shows
right.
sometimes. So it was sometimes kind of
hard to tell where they were in
no,
the
relationship. That was easy.
No.
Once they dated, they were dating. There was no questions asked. They were dating.
No.
Yes.
Once they were dating, they showed it and sometimes it no.
Some of it I think was because they were in the hospice for obviously the entire plot, and it was very obvious that, I don't know if it was purposeful or not, but the impression I got is that they really didn't show it in front of the people in the hospice, all the patients and the other, the Team Genie, Team Genie wouldn't care, but all the other patients, the other nurses and doctor, I'll mention that later, I just feel like it was more they didn't want to be, all flirty in front of them. And they weren't flirty people either.
No,
they just
they
weren't.
Mm-mm.
I felt like that was part of why they didn't show it as much. Because, when they were in the hospice, she was focusing on her job. He was focusing on his job. And it was more like the in-between scenes. Most of the time we saw them dating was very much outside the hospice. I wonder if they purposely kind of kept it outside the hospice. I wouldn't be surprised.
I just think they had a lot of, one-liner things between the two of them where, she would give him this super encouraging word
sometimes
at one point, and then we wouldn't see anything else. I just think they were, for us, the audience, the relationship had a lot of holes in it. Not that the relationship itself had holes, we didn't get to see any change or progress. We didn't get to see the slow progression of it.
Well,
we got to see a snippet here, a snippet there.
We got to see the...
And you had to assume a lot.
Guess. I don't know. We really got to see the progression to when they started dating. We fully got to see that. It was after they were dating, we didn't get to see much, which... For me, I'm kind of split in the middle.
They didn't need to show dates, just interactions between the two.
Yeah, I feel like more interactions would have been better.
Yeah.
I don't mind, I mentioned this to you, because of their age in the show, which is, I'm assuming, mid to later 20s.
Late 20s.
I liked that they didn't do oh my gosh, we're dating, or this
and
that.
Yeah, they didn't make a big,
there wasn't a big deal
on
it. Or at one point when he went over to her place, she just let him in and was like, huh, have you eaten yet? Just didn't care about oh my gosh, is my place messy? Oh my gosh, why is he? Just let him in. And,
she's not that kind of person.
Exactly,
anyway.
But I liked that they didn't feel like they were two, little kids dating. They felt, but I do agree that I think they didn't have to be dates, just showing a few
moments here and there.
Moments or even just interactions.
And that's part of the whole plot problem that we'll talk about, I think.
I don't think it is.
I think because they were trying to do
yes! That. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
That led to the lack
yeah,
of
we'll talk
things.
About
yeah, we'll
talk about that. So, Taesik, who we've seen this actor in a few different things, I think he was a good character. He played his character very well, give me a second.
Just saying, you like these characters more than I do. Go ahead. Continue.
Gyo-Rae was the only one who I said I really liked his character. I haven't said that about anybody else yet, okay? Just saying. Taesik, he was good. I think he was, the actor played his role quite convincingly, and he was very consistent. The way he talked to people, I feel like you would hate someone like that in real life.
Yes.
You would. Yes. I know you would.
Which is probably why his character didn't impress me, didn't endear me to him.
I was not
attached to him whatsoever.
It sounds weird, but I was attached to how Yorei was attached to him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's what I was attached to.
I agree with that. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, I didn't understand the attachment because I couldn't get attached to
a Why Yorei was so attached to him? He was like a father figure
to him. But, well, yeah, I guess.
In some weird way. Not in a weird
way.
In some ways.
I didn't see it. I didn't see the wonderfulness of their relationship.
I think their relationship was kind of strange and, like, unconventional isn't the right word. But, like, I think it was weird. But I think if you think about Gilray's character and how, like, I think only a person like Tae-sik was also going to be stubborn enough, just how stubborn Gilray was, to get him to change. Just having people like, oh, are you okay? He was not going to change from that. I would agree that Tae-sik's character was, like, he was nice. What he did was really cool. His personality was just kind of strange.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that as a character. Like, I don't care. Like, I was, fine with it. But
that affected how I responded at the end of the story.
Yeah, I'd say. I know. I never felt, like, super duper attached to his character specifically. Mm-hmm. The people I was most attached to was Gilray and the rest of Team Genie, which might be bad, but honestly, it's true. So, Team Genie, that's who I want to talk about next anyway.
Oh, you weren't going to talk about...
I was going to talk about them after.
Oh, okay.
So, Team Genie, which would be the high schooler, the older, who we now know is a couple, and then the grandma who's a cook.
Right.
So, I don't know if it's unfortunate, but I was connected to them a lot more than I was Tae-sik.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Just
I agree.
Probably because of how their personalities were. I liked that they had, like, a nice age range. We went from high schooler, then they had Yeonju, who was also part of the team, later Gyorae, then Tae-sik, then the older couple, and then the grandmother cook. Like, they had a nice... I liked the variety that they had. But I liked that they focused just... they focused, like, just enough on each character, and at one point... kind of showed their backstory
a little bit. But they didn't have to go into, like, an entire episode to explain how they got to be there at the hospice.
Yes.
I liked that. They just gave us enough to understand the character a little more.
And I think they did that well.
And that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
I think one of the biggest shocking reveals I was not expecting in this was when we found out the wife had some sort of dementia of some sort.
Yeah.
I did not expect that.
No.
I think I got more emotional at that than, like, a lot of other things. That was, like, I think it's because you really took the time that even though they were side characters, they were in it so much that you really did get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So, yes, with Jun Kyung and Suk Jun, who... because we're bad at names, we'll preface who they are. Jun Kyung is the girl who grew up with Gyorae in the orphanage.
She's called little sister.
And then Suk Jun is the other boy who grew up in the orphanage, is now like a thug working under the other dude. So Jun Kyung was a crazy character, honestly speaking.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And we'll talk about more in detail about her, like, development and stuff. But I think she was super convincing that she really was that way. You know what I mean? Like, how the actress did it was convincing. And also, for me, it made me think about, like, there are probably some people who really are that way because they've been through as much, like, so much. Like, it's kind of a crazy, like, you know, you don't think of people like.
Like, she was
she's probably exaggerated in some ways. Yes, but still, I mean, there really are people that are so broken that they just go to the extreme like that, for sure. And then with Seokjun, I really didn't expect to find, to know his backstory and find out and, like, see character development. I really didn't expect that. But I
just thought he was just the mean thug that...
Well, I could have...
He knew Gyorae
somehow. I didn't expect them to be quite as connected.
I didn't think they were connected from childhood.
No, I didn't expect that. And, I mean, with Seokjun, I was able to read him right away when... I don't know what the heck... The dude who was above him, who would beat people...
The dude with the golf club.
Dude with the golf club, exactly. Yeah. When he watched stuff happen, he, like, almost cringed at it.
Right.
Like, you couldn't... Right. Like, I immediately read him that he was... Didn't seem, like, naturally a violent person, if that makes sense. It was just the environment he was in.
Especially... And then you got that line of his... When he was talking to Gyorae, he said, "Why do any of us do what we do? We do it to survive."
And to, like, basically, like, we need to make money to not starve.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Basically, yeah.
That's the reason I'm
for him doing
specifically. What I'm doing.
Yeah,
yeah,
especially. So, our biggest problem with this show is that, especially because we expected to just have one side of what we got is partly why. So our expectations could be part of why we didn't like it as much.
Mm-hmm.
But this show felt like two shows. So we had the side we were expecting that was like the slice of life, heartfelt, with some romance.
Well, if you read the plot synopsis.
I know, if you read the plot, that's all that they mention.
That's all they mention.
Because everything else they reveal is like a mystery. They're not going to mention that in the synopsis.
Yes, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that side of it, of them treating patients and granting their wishes and then, you know, all that stuff. That's what I expected, and that was probably my favorite part of the show. Because, you know, it was an interesting thing, like, the different patients they focused on. Like, you know, most of them were older, but, like, the one girl was younger and, like, that. Mm-hmm. And, like, and I thought that was kind of, it was interesting to see all the different kinds of wishes that they had or regrets in their life. And
right.
I liked seeing that. It was, they had... Just enough variety. Like, they're all very sure they were similar. Like, you know, they're dying and it's their final wish. Like, you know, that's happening.
So there's the
one side.
Heartfelt.
Like,
and then along with
realistic.
That. Along with that, I would always throw romantic in with heartfelt.
Oh,
myself.
Well, yeah.
So now, mind you, Gyorae and
Yeonju,
their relationship wasn't terribly romantic.
They just didn't have...
But they had a few moments here and there.
They were really good.
Which would work to fit in with that heartfelt, you know, they kind of work together and side by side. And that was one half of the show.
Yeah. And then the other half, or quarter, whatever the heck, was unfortunately the dramatic mystery and inhibitor of, I don't know what word to use, and the stupid plot line of the dad. The dad.
Drawn out, drag your feet. Oh, let's drag it until we can't not reveal it anymore.
What's like the word? It's like literally you're like dragging like a horse or something. What was it?
Beat a dead horse.
They're like beating a dead horse. That's
no,
they
weren't beating a dead horse. Not exactly.
That's true. Not quite. But you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
In a way, it was done. They did. Freaking same shot, like, 50 million times. It was so annoying.
So what was really funny is my husband, I was telling him about the show.
Mm-hmm. Was it while you were on a bike ride?
I was like, he's like, oh, is that what it's about? He's like, because every time I walked in, it seemed like a different show.
Like, he kept asking, because, you know.
Oh, is this a different show?
Yes, he would keep asking that. He'd be like, oh, have you guys moved on? We're like, nope, same one. And we did. We also took a while to finish it. But
so just the casual observer.
He just kind of walked.
Noted
and,
that.
And some shows
it
are.
It looks so different.
And some shows are like that. Like in, like any, oh, shoot. I'm blanking on the, crap. Like, legal or police something show will kind of have two sides to them. They'll have, like, an Attorney Wu. It was, like, when they were in the courtroom doing the court case. Mm-hmm. And then they have the side of them when they are outside.
But they weren't so extreme. These...
Oh, they were so connected.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, attorneys and people outside the office aren't all that different.
Right. Right, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Heartfelt and...
This dramatic
thing.
And some violence
so
and stuff. Yeah, so...
On opposite ends.
Exactly,
of the
yeah. So with the heartfelt and that kind of thing, I think they did do a good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I wonder if they didn't have the whole plot with the dad. I think that the show would have had to be shorter.
Yeah.
Or just very different. Or maybe different pacing, maybe.
It was almost as if they didn't want to make it too episodic.
Which I get that.
Which,
sure,
you know,
sure.
I get that.
If you want
to. So,
you know,
in order to counteract that, they put in this, I guess, this mystery that would supposedly tie everything together.
I don't know. See, this show is not that, even if they didn't have the whole mystery. I feel like it's still one of it. I would never categorize it as episodic because of the whole Team Genie and everything like that. Like, their storyline was this, like, consistent arc that you very much saw.
It started out episodic.
I still don't think it was that episodic.
Each episode was a different.
But if the entire
wish
show
they were going to grant.
I'm still not sure how episodic I'd count it as because of the amount of time they focused on the overarching story of the development of the other characters.
Well, you have to have
when
that.
I think,
or
I guess, maybe I would still count it as episodic. Sure, if you, well, not always. Not with this kind of, you wouldn't be able to have this kind of plot. And
well, like,
not
do you
have.
Consider, like, what's that medical show that we were watching? Chicago Med. Do you consider that episodic?
No, I don't. Because they focus so much on the relationships between the two. Each case is episodic. Not always. Some go across multiple. Each case is episodic. It's an episodic-like show. Like, that's like a... Is Chicago Med... I don't know.
You know, no, what you have to do is you have to decide what your definition of episodic is.
See, okay,
to
but
see whether it containing or consisting of a series of loosely connected parts or events.
I don't think those were loosely enough. You know? I don't know. Would you call that? I don't think I'd call Chicago Med episodic. Would you?
Well, if you call that, if that's the definition of episodic, every TV show is episodic because it has episodes.
No. I don't think that. No. Have you seen Mushishi? You've seen that, correct?
Yes.
That's very different because that only has one really consistent character. That's quite unique in how they do that. Mm-hmm. That's episodic.
Well, that's episodic in respect that you could separate, you could pull out an episode.
You can watch them out of order and you'd be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's, like, almost on the extreme end.
Right.
Or, what's that? I know that one's episodic, but I can't remember the name of it.
Okay, so everything is episodic.
I don't think
we're talking about episodic in the negative sense.
No.
Are we?
No, no. I've enjoyed shows that are episodic.
Okay.
Mushishi is the most, I guess you could say, extreme episodic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, Natsume's Book of Friends, which is more similar to this one. Like, each episode, or maybe Chicago Med, each episode there's a problem, and the same characters are solving it, but you have to watch it in order because you need to see the development of characters.
Right.
Like, there's two sides.
Oh, here, CSI.
I've never seen
CSI New York. It's very much like that. Each episode, there's this little capsule.
Yeah.
There's a murder.
Yeah, I know what it is.
And they have to solve it. But
the whole show is
overarching story of the relationships.
Would you call CSI episodic?
So it's episodic in that respect.
In that way,
each episode has a capsule.
This show could have been
like that.
Could have been like that. Yes.
The first couple episodes were,
which is fine. Yes. I don't dislike episodic shows. I'm totally fine with that. That's totally fine with me. And honestly, I'm wondering if I would have liked the show more if they went in that direction. Because honestly, some, not all, of the patient stories sometimes felt rushed.
Yes.
And I'm like, if they had taken out, leave in all of Team Jean and everybody in the hospice, keep all of their stories, and you need to keep all that. That's like the, foundation of this whole story. Like, but then other things, mostly the dad, if you'd taken that out and just done some of the patients, developed some of the patients' stories more, and then I'll obviously added some on, I think that could have really helped. And I wonder if I would have liked the show better than we ended up liking it.
If they didn't have that uber, super dramatic. Or I guess you could say,
or as much of it might be the right way to... Like,
now, on the other hand, the sister and the thug, let's just call them that, their story and Gyore's story.
Yeah.
All three of them had super dramatic backstory.
But it worked.
But those worked. Those were interesting. Mm-hmm. They used the characters well.
Yeah, they used the characters.
They weren't.
They
weren't exaggerated. That's part of the thing.
That's true.
The father was the exaggeration of an evil person.
Yeah, he was like a very TV show.
Very TV show evil. And then so was his little minion, the golf club. He was pretty...
super TV.
TV.
Baddie.
Yeah.
Bad
and guy. That's why... I think that's part of the reason why we didn't like them. Whereas the others...
No one was supposed to like
them. Well, no. I mean, we didn't like that plot at all. Whereas the other three, they're... why they were the way they were was explained
so thoroughly.
So thoroughly.
Yeah, and I liked that.
That we could more identify with them as people instead of the label, bad guy.
Oh, no. People, I mean, yeah. And also with, Jude and Kyung and stuff, we got to see a arc.
Yeah.
It was a start point, sure. And we got to see it through. There was character development and everything like that involved in it. Whereas, we'll just talk about the dad now. Let's talk about the dad in detail.
Honestly, I think they tried to do that because at one point, we had a flashback of him and Tae-sik, and he was talking about how he was lonely without his son.
I think they tried, but there wasn't enough.
Throw that
absolutely
in there.
Absolutely not enough.
And I'm like, sorry, that's no justification.
Oh, absolutely not. So I stopped writing it down in my notes because it happened so many times.
Yeah.
So in episode two, I can't believe they introduced that in episode two. They showed that there was a door with a keypad that had a patient in it.
Right. And immediately we're like,
that's his dad.
We knew.
We rolled our eyes so hard. We're like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, of course he's still alive. Of course he's still involved. Like, it was just so TV. It was annoying.
Yeah, it was,
And then throughout till episode around 9 or 10, I think, or maybe even 8, we didn't even really see the patient.
Mm-mm.
Really all we saw between episode 2 and episode 8 or 9 was just the staff going in and then coming out.
Yep.
And then a shot of him dramatically laying there, unconscious. And by episode 9, we'd seen it so many times. I literally wrote down my notes. I said, I literally was like, the whole mystery with the patient was just annoying and fell out of place for the story. That's what I wrote down, word for word, at episode 9.
We did not care.
No.
Who that person was?
Because I knew immediately. There was no mystery.
Right. At exactly. All.
So, and then in 10 is when we find out that the dad is actually related to Taysik and his past. And somewhere in there, between 10 and 11, I think between 9 and 10, somewhere in there, it's confirmed it is the dad somewhere. I don't remember.
Again. Again, Taysik, Gyore, and dad are all connected. And I didn't like that. Whereas Gyore and the other two, his age, are connected.
I have mixed feelings.
And I did like
that. I have mixed feelings with it because I actually found it really interesting that Taysik was connected because I did not expect that. And, like, the entire reason Taysik ended up at this hospice was because of the dad and how he had left that business and basically went homeless. His wife and kid died. Like, I obviously didn't love it, but I didn't absolutely hate the Taysik.
I think the connection would have been fine if the dad hadn't been there.
Yeah, no, I get that. I totally get that. Like, if the dad had, if they revealed, like, I kind of found it, they said, like, right away that Taysik had seen Gyore as a child.
Right.
And I like that they only had that one little interaction that's all they ever saw of each other, which I'm like, yeah, and having that burn mark would be very identifiable. So that made sense. Like, I didn't mind that. I'm like, so TV, but I don't hate it, you know?
Okay.
I think one of the most annoying things was, like, just the sheer amount of time it took them to reveal stuff was excruciating. Like, it took them till episode, like, 9, 10 to, like, quote-unquote, like, confirm it's the dad. We all knew. And then it took them, like, forever to quite identify why Taysik and the dad were, how they were involved with each other.
I was so done with the mystery by episode 11.
Yeah, seriously.
I was like, we have to finish this show. I mean, I was, see, the thing was, I was enjoying certain characters in the show and their storyline.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to complete it.
But yes.
I was so done with half of what was happening in the show.
Yeah, which made it sometimes, like, hard to, like, while, like, it's hard to explain because while I was watching it, I was pretty invested. But the second the episode ended, I was like, dude, half of that we did not even need. Like, in the moment, I reacted out loud. I was saying shocking happened, of course, because I was invested in it. But, like, then afterwards, when I would think about it for just a second, I'm like, really?
You know? I mean, and you can tell when we really like a show is because when it's done, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even talk about it. We would turn the TV off and
We barely talked about it. And then in 11 or 12, somewhere in there, is when the dad woke up in front of Gyore, and then later on, Gyore found the picture in his wallet and confirmed he knew it was his dad. That I didn't expect.
Yeah.
And I actually found it somewhat interesting that I think he talked to him at least once before he knew it was his dad, which I didn't expect. And then him to actually talk to him knowing it was his dad really shocked me.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was an interesting thing to do. And then by, you know, 13, 14 is when his dad is coming up with this whole plot to frame Gyore so that he has to leave with the dad. And then also the dad wants to, like, you know, get rid of Taysik and, like, report him to the police. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Wait, you know what I just realized?
What did you just realize? What?
Where's the money? Where's the bag of money?
Oh, yeah.
It was in the trunk
of
the car.
I'm almost 100% sure. I know the dad found the will that Gyore had written saying where the money was. I think the dad stole it.
Where did it go? Where did
he put it? I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, like, that was one of those things that we were wondering about. Did the dad steal it? Did Taysik move it?
I think it was the dad.
They never showed it again.
No, they didn't. They just kind of...
No,
Taysik showed it. Didn't Gyo-rae at the very end when the...
He had a bag of money and he threw it at them. But he didn't know where the bag of money was.
There's a possibility we're just forgetting a plot point.
He said to Yeonju,
that it's...
What if I they lost, were missing from yeah, the trunk?
I don't remember.
It just hit me.
No, I get what you mean.
That was never really wrapped up what
because
happened
I'm
with the money.
Because I'm pretty darn sure that they showed the dad opening the trunk. And I'm... pretty darn sure he's the one who took it because he found the will that told him where it was. But, yeah, they didn't really tell if the dad had a plan for that money.
Where did he hide that?
If Gyo-rae found it. You're right. I never thought of that.
Sorry.
Okay, no, you're good. But the whole plot of the dad wanting to frame his own son and his, like, weird obsession with it. And like, oh my
gosh.
So
he was
going
to frame him. So either Gyo-rae was going to like go to prison or going to kowtow to his father.
No, it's so that Gyo-rae would have to, I think in my head,
it
was so that Gyo-rae had to leave the hospice probably. And then the dad's like, once he leaves, I'll go with him. So like, together. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, come on. Like, and I'll admit they did fool me at the beginning that the dad had lost his memory. Because I'm like, yeah, someone who's basically been in a coma, that's possible. Uh-huh. But then, like, sure, some things, like, dude, when he, like, stabbed the social worker, oh my gosh, I was so sad. I was like, dude, he did nothing to deserve this.
He was such an innocent
bystander, like,
almost pathetic.
Yes.
Character.
And, like, you know, and those things I got genuinely shocked at. But, right. Like, then I was like, why? And it was frustrating that, especially basically from episode 10, 11 till, like, 15, 16, the entire episode was about the dad. Like, it was not about, because the characters were involved in the dad and doing that, they didn't have time to grant people's wishes,
right?
Obviously, they didn't have time for that. But I'm like,
this is not what I signed up for.
I know, which is hard because, like, I don't want to say the only reason was because I expected something else, but to me, the two storylines were very interconnected with, obviously, Gyo-rae and Taesik and Joon-kyung and everything. But, like, it was so disconnected from the rest of the show that it felt strange.
It was like one was real life and one was a drama.
That's a good way to describe that. You're right. Yeah, it was. And that was just so annoying. Like, yeah. Like, I don't think there was any point that we liked the mystery at all. Mm-mm. Like, when they first were like, oh my gosh, who's this patient? You're like, it's his dad.
And it's not obviously. Like we don't like a good mystery.
No! Oh, no! Camilla. I was so annoying because it was such a good... Like, I really liked that
and
mystery.
And I had seen it before.
And so I would ask
her... like, constantly asking questions and throwing out theories and stuff. And that was a fun mystery.
Yes.
And it wasn't as if... It was quick. They took their time revealing the mystery.
Yeah, yeah. It was a slow mystery, but...
But it wasn't...
It kept me engaged. Yeah. And yes, that was different because I was the entire... That was like the main plot line other than the romance.
Right.
Whereas this one, even if this particular mystery, let's say, pretend the other stuff didn't happen, I was never... what's the word? Like, you don't... I never didn't know who the person was.
Right.
I was never curious. about it. Like,
if you took away the heartfelt hospice stuff, we wouldn't have finished this show.
Probably not.
No, we wouldn't have.
No, and because, and it's just because, like, we just found it, I found it a boring mystery.
Yeah.
It was not a good mystery. Mm-mm. I wasn't, mm-mm. The only mystery aspect to it was that how exactly the dad was involved in Tay-Sik. That was the only unknown, honestly speaking. Because
right.
We knew before it was revealed to us, it was the dad. It was blatantly obvious. Yeah. And I was like, this is stupid. I can't believe they had the brain into it. But so I think we've established
we don't like that.
We hated that. Yeah. Like, it's been a long time since I think I've disliked a storyline so much.
The only reason you
wouldn't have finished if I wasn't there and if we weren't doing a podcast. Totally not. You wouldn't have finished.
No, especially, like, the last episode, it was like I had to drag myself to the couch and make myself sit through
it. You did a lot more than I did, because personally, I can't stand when a show doesn't wrap up. This show wrapped up perfectly fine. Like, sure, everything was very wrapped up. I would have watched the last episode, I think, even if we weren't doing a podcast, just because I wanted to have it wrapped up.
The only reason I watched the last episode was for Joon Kyung and Suk Jun.
Yes.
That's so, the only reason I watched that episode.
Let's talk about Joon Kyung, because this is the funny part. So, we had this I call it dramatic story with the dad that really started going down 11, 12, because that's when the dad, like, woke up when we saw him, not the first time, but, like, in front of Gyori. So, Joon Kyung's storyline starts, I mean, we've seen her throughout the show, but when she shows up at the hospice and takes Gyori, that's in episode 8. Mm. So, you're already halfway. And, like, she's been slowly being established of, you know, she was in the fire that night when, you know, Gyori got locked up. And then, you know, we knew that they were connected since childhood. We knew that, like, right away. So, and then, you know, Yorei's only gone for one episode. You know, Yeonju comes and gets him. And then in 13 is when she's in the hospital and meets Tae-Sik. Mm-hmm. And then she learns about her mom. Her and Gyori make up. And then we see her very ending in 16. This is a start-to-finish storyline where we got to see someone who was so broken and, like, just taken advantage of and, like, terrible, terrible situation.
And she didn't know the truth of her backstory.
No, she didn't. And we got to see how crazy she was and just so, like, out of it, basically. Like, yeah. And then through Tae-Sik a little bit, and also through, what's his name? Suk Jun a little bit here and there, like, how she started to change. Mm-hmm. And,
well, she really broke down
at
the restaurant.
I liked that they had it where before Tae-Sik revealed it to her about her mom, which was in 14. She met him in 13, and, you know, Suk Jun had been around her a lot when she was in the hospital. She sort of kind of seemed like she was trying to see basically how to live.
Well, she wanted to see, you know, these people changed.
Oh, that was such an interesting line. Yeah.
Like, I want to know if I can live like, be happy.
She
like
literally,
him
she
too.
Was curious of like, would this actually happen to me?
After
like,
all this horrible life that he and I went through, I can see a change in him, and I want to know what's up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so she'd already started to change her mindset, even just the littlest bit. And then in 14, when she learns about her mom, I can see how that, even in real life, would be a huge, just like breaking. But you'd immediately be like, you know, she immediately was like, Suk you know, trying to stop Seokjin. That was her main priority.
Right.
And, you know, that and, like, and then afterwards when her and Gyore were sat at the, like, funeral house. Mm. And, you know, they, like, kind of, like, redid this scene from when they were little kids. Him asking her to be his sister. And, like,
mm-hmm.
that was, like, you know, they could make up in the end. Because he had changed and she had changed. And then you really liked, I quite liked how they ended her storyline. You really wanted to mention
that. Oh, yeah, because her, the whole thing with the entertainment business being such a underground, dirty
Yeah, it was thing, really big, yeah.
You know, with these girls going on, yeah. I assume it was YouTube.
It was, no, it was some sort of streaming.
Some streaming yeah. service. So they're doing this
like
streaming,
a like a live streaming yeah. stuff.
And how she came, she was part of that.
She was.
And how, you know, that's all she
knew
how to do.
She lived, basically.
And they took that
horrible thing,
and she used that thing for good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, she started doing the live stream of her, you know, her exercising and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was neat the way she didn't go and volunteer at the hospice.
Yes!
That would have been so cheesy for her to do.
Yeah.
But she did something that she knew about and she understood.
Mm-hmm.
And they used that for as a good thing.
And I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And one thing I'd like to note is that, you know, we've been mentioning how Gyore, Jun Kyung, Seokjun, how it was cool to see them turn good. Though. Mm-hmm. That was their plot line in character development.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for a bad guy, like the dad or the other thugs, if you want to put it that way,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to have the bad guy turn good to have a good storyline with a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, like, be like, you know, that's the only way to have an interesting bad guy that I'm in. No. You can have a storyline with how they, like, show me how they became so evil. Show me.
I can tell you, give you an example.
Give me, hit me.
Rugal.
Yeah.
That bad guy.
We absolutely shred apart that show. But great, I really liked the bad guy.
The bad guy was good. And they showed the whys and wherefores of why, yes.
Because
remember, he was part of the program.
Oh, you're right.
So
yeah.
It made sense to how the anger and the revenge
it showed,
that he wanted.
Yeah, knowing
what. And it made sense. But he never got not bad.
No.
But he was a good bad guy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that is something the dad was just like, he's evil and he's evil. I'm like, at least explain how he really explain how he got there. How, you know, and obviously part of it is that because they were trying to keep the hospice storyline and all their people,
mm-hmm.
then Gyore, Jun Kyung, their past together,
mm-hmm.
and then Gyore's past with his dad and confronting that now, and then also Seokjun a little bit in his past and there, and there were too much.
Too much.
That's probably my main criticism of this show is that to me, they never focused on one thing, except for, like, you know, the characters, like Gyore and stuff. Like, they focused on him enough.
Yeah.
Like, you know, enough to develop him properly. But a lot of the plot lines, they didn't feel like they focused on one or two enough to, like, quite develop it properly, I guess, is the right way to put that. Like, the dad, if you did give it even more screen time, which then it'd just be a mystery and crime drama at that point. Very different drama.
Yes, very
but
different.
If you in theory had more screen time, you'd show, I'd want to see the detailed backstory of, you know, more.
Yeah, they were able to give us the backstory of everybody else.
Backstory was so vague.
Yeah, it was.
I need to know how he got basically to this point. you didn't just go from 0 to 100. He could have been, I mean, like, he abused his kid, and most likely his wife.
He was probably abused.
He could have been abused. Yeah. Did we see that? No. Would that show give us some insight of to why he was like that? Yes, it would. Like, I think most... it was like we were talking about when we watched Confidential Assignment 1.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy was the one who mentioned that the bad guys just felt like they were bad to be bad. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to see a true... That one was, like, motivation. Like, what was their, like, motivation? Yeah. Like, the dad, you know, he didn't need a clear motivation, if that makes sense, in this situation. But I wanted to know why he was evil. Mm-hmm. Like... I don't think he was just born that way. I think there was a build-up of, you know, his wife running away, his kid running away. Yeah, like, that's a lot to go through, just that. But then also, did he use stuff in his childhood? How did he start this entertainment thing? Like, did he start it? Or did he join an established one but take it over? Like,
or did he start a legit business and realize that he had to get into this shady to make money? Stuff to make money?
Yeah, like that sort of thing. I would not be interested in learning that. But like,
no.
But then your problem would be then the show would not be the same show.
No, it would not. All. It would not. So what they needed to do was,
in our opinion,
hack up the dramatic mystery.
Yes.
And they could
put more of the other stuff? More of
the other stuff?
Yeah.
You could have even gone more into the backstory of Gyorae and the other two.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know.
Yeah. So... Yeah, basically. Yeah,
sorry, I just...
No, you're good, you're good. No, you're good. And that, yeah, once we, you know, watched the last episode, we were basically like,
okay. Thank goodness that's over.
Okay, I wasn't, thank goodness.
I was so glad it was over.
I just said, okay. Like, I feel a little bit bad, because I remember someone mentioning on the Discord, like, how emotional... the last episode was, because mainly because it tasted.
I didn't think that was emotional
and
at all.
And I didn't get it emotional like, yeah, at
we all know he's gonna die.
Which, no. Case in point.
But they didn't really. Usually, somebody dies and the other people around them get all emotional, and that's when I get an emotional. And
they skip to a year later immediately.
We didn't see all that.
That's true. Like, case in point. I don't think that's not a spoiler. 39.
Oh, everybody knows in episode 1 that she's
cancer. Like, right. You know that immediately. Like, I think you know that reading the synopsis.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a spoiler. You know this show is ending with her dying. You know that going in. But that is the show I have cried the most at. Right. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Like significantly more than any other show I've ever watched. I cried at that one the most. Yeah. And I'll admit that. It was, that was such a hurt. That was like, wow, we were bad afterwards. Yeah. Oh my word. We tried
to talk about it a little bit, and our voices were shaking and quivering, and we stopped. We couldn't talk about it.
We were so emotional mm-hmm. after the final episode of 39 that if we looked at each other, we'd start crying. Like, it was that bad.
And you'd think that a show about hospice patients giving their the last dying wish granted...
Which...
would strike some sort of emotional chord.
Like, some of them, I'm like, oh, I like how they did that. Oh, that was interesting. Like,
some of it was beautifully done. Yes,
I think some of it was very well done. But because that was honestly solely at the beginning of the show, and then just all the other crap was...
The other stuff just overshadowed that.
It did. It overtook it too much in our opinion. Where the dad specifically, whereas when we said with Joon Kyung, even though her backstory, her whole plotline thing was hers was dramatic, maybe even a little over dramatic. It's still a TV show, so you expect that. Like, even though it's hers was over dramatic, I still liked it. Mm-hmm. You know? So, what would you give it out of 5? It's tricky because I'm like split because half I liked, half I didn't. And I'm like,
a 2. I can't give it a 3 because yeah. I didn't like half the show. I'll give it a 2 because the acting was really well done.
That's what's so tricky. Is that like, okay, out of the acting, just the acting.
Just the acting?
What would you give it? Out of talking every character, like a 4?
Almost a 4.
Almost a 4. Pretty much a 4 for acting.
Yeah.
Storyline, you give it like a 1. A
1. Yeah.
Yeah. Like My Drama List breaks it up like that. They have like,
that's so much easier.
It is easier.
Yeah. Give me a rubric to rate the drama.
Yeah, My Drama List, they have a rubric of how you, okay, so they rate it from story, acting and casting, music, and rewatch value. And then you total it up.
Oh, the rewatch value was 0.
Well, okay, most shows don't have rewatch value, to be fair.
Really?
A lot of shows don't, I think. A decent amount don't. Like a mystery.
Mysteries
don't usually have very... Really have,
yes, dependent. But there are... I could name shows that I would rewatch.
Oh, we've rewatched plenty of shows.
I'm trying to get you to watch one with me so I can rewatch it.
What's that?
Tomorrow.
Okay, I told you I'm not going to rewatch a show with you if you literally watched it a week ago.
I didn't watch it a week ago. Okay, now it's been like a month.
Oh my gosh, it's been so... We will watch that at some point. But, okay, what I've given... 2 to 2.5.
For what?
Generals. I think I give it 2.5.
Okay.
Because I genuinely really like Ji Chang Wook in this.
He did an excellent job.
He
was the best part of the show.
He was the best.
Really?
Yeah. For sure.
In every way.
Yeah. So, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Personally, I wouldn't recommend this show. If it was someone who's kind of like us, who's watched a lot of K-dramas already, they're not like newbies to it, I won't necessarily say you should not watch this.
I would just say don't bother.
Like, I'd be like a weird in-between personally if it's someone like us who's seen a lot of shows. Because I think other people wouldn't mind the mystery to the... how much the mystery bothered you? If you cut that in half or even more than that, you would have liked the show a lot more, correct? Obviously.
You'd have to cut back that mystery significantly.
No. Not the mystery itself in the show. Your dislike of it. If someone watched the same show, but they only dislike the mystery a little bit, that's what I'm saying. They would probably like the show much more than you did.
I don't know, the rest of the show was too. I mean,
some of it, yes.
It was nicely done, and it was cute at times and sweet at times, but it wasn't anything special.
No, I agree with that. Whereas, like...
Twilight only gets a 2.
Yeah, whereas, like, Moved... Like, Tomorrow or Moved to Heaven, which I've heard is, like, super moving. 39 or Navalera. I'd recommend those so much. Even though Moved to Heaven I've never seen, but I think I would still recommend. Like, I don't know, man. This was, like, a rough show.
It was disappointing because I was looking forward to
Ji-Chang. Yeah. Ji-Chang was great in it.
Yeah.
But it's so sad that the guy didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now you know how we feel. I'm curious if maybe I should ask in the Discord after we finish because I've been...
What did other people think of this?
I should know. I think what I heard was that it wasn't perfect is mostly what I've heard so far. I think I'm going to, like, basically be like, okay, we kind of disliked this show. What are the... Like, I think I'll ask that. You hated it.
I hated it.
I didn't hate it.
I hated it.
And I wanted to throw in real quick, because I forgot I'd written this down in my notes, the car accident.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. So when, like, the one teen, it was when her boyfriend got hit with a car. I just want to throw this in. That was the most graphic car accident I've ever seen.
It's because it was realistic.
It was like,
he didn't like it hit by the car and slow motion float over the roof of it and then land, which is a lot of car accidents. Just, that's to what me, they do.
I dislike that.
It was like, oh, like I wanted to close my eyes and turn away.
It was that bad.
It was that.
I was shocked by how bad that was. Like, that was. Sorry, that was just so unexpected. I don't know. The image sticks with you, too.
Yeah.
Like, there, okay, this sounds stupid. I've watched a decent amount of car accidents in K-dramas. None of them stuck to, like, impressive, I guess, that they were able to.
It was like the one from Reset where the girl stepped out of the bus.
No, that was different because I think I was...
Was that just more of a shock to you?
No, that was just surprise.
Oh, okay.
With this one, you knew it was going to happen. Mm. That what was shocking is that you knew exactly what was going to happen. But
I was always like, oh, but that one,
you knew
too.
Exactly what was going to happen. Not with Reset.
Well, not the first time. The first time... Oh, yeah, with Reset, you didn't. With this one, you did.
This one, I knew exactly what was going to happen.
Because he's crossing the street.
He's crossing
the
street.
What else happens when the innocent boyfriend crosses the street?
They were really taking their time showing that he's crossing this street.
Yes, they were.
He was actively on the phone, and I think they showed the car. But
you knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming, and I still was like, oh, my God.
Still made you flinch.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Okay, yeah, sorry, that... Just wanted to mention. So, yeah. Hopefully, maybe we need to start watching. Has Ji-chan worked on a lot of movies? Maybe we'll like some of his movies. I don't know.
We'll have to check that out.
I've heard that Healer is what most people say is like peak Ji-chan Wook, which we like that show. Some aspects we didn't, but we did like that show. I also really like Park Min Young in that, but. I don't know. I want to see something else with Ji Chang Wook that I like.
Yeah, something that...
And most of the time, it wasn't Ji Chang Wook that we didn't like. It was just everything else that was going on, you know?
Right.
You know, so, okay. Now that we've talked way too much of why we just like the show, we hope you somehow enjoyed this. I wonder if our opinion's controversial or not. I have no idea what the general response to this show is, but we hope you guys enjoyed listening to us ramble on about this one, and we'll see you all next time.